Well, we're both teachers, so I think we're kind of used to being front and center. So when we come to church, for the past 9 years, I think we kind of stand back because it's nice for us to take a break from being front and center. But actually, we have had a duo speak before, and it kind of inspired me a little bit. I don't know if it was a new member's sermon, but the Ericsons did a duo. I remember that speech quite well, and I remember more than two things. I don't know if you remember. For those of you who remember that speech. So, yes, as Alan said, over the summer while staining the deck, he invited us to speak in today's service, or actually invited me. I was just there. But in talking it over with Christine, we felt we should share together because our journeys have brought us both here together. Prior to our attending this church 9 years ago, neither of us had much spiritual identity. We both wanted a warm and accepting community to help emotionally support and sustain us in what we had hoped for would be an expanded nuclear family, which actually has come to pass, thankfully so. We believe we found exactly such a place here, and we look forward to Sundays. Even our children look forward to coming, and we didn't know it was possible for children to be excited to go to church. So that's where we find ourselves now, full of appreciation and excitement to further our involvement in the Unitarian Universalism Church. Perhaps maybe toe-in-the-water approach, but that's kind of who we are.
Definitely slow, happy to blend in the background is who we are too. But I think probably that was, for me, part of it growing up in a Catholic Sunday attending family. We punched our tickets every Sunday, looking forward to two homilies, one by Father Frank and one by Monsignor Connor, because they were fast. And like if Father Donovan was in the pulpit, like that was not a good thing. So like, oh, please God, let it be Father Frank and Monsignor Connor. After a while, my family just stopped attending, but I kind of appreciated that space still. So I would even walk to church in Brockton, Massachusetts. I would walk there, not every day or every Sunday, but occasionally, until one day when I started getting independent thought. And Father Frank, who had a beautiful Irish accent too, just broke my heart because he was very clear. And he said, if you are sitting, Catholicism is not a religion where you can pick and choose. If you believe that homosexuality is okay, you're a sinner. If you believe that pro-choice is okay, you're a sinner. And I did not have a lot of bravery about anything at the time, but I remember very clearly just standing up and walking out. And I was like, I can't. I'm a sinner. I'm a reaffirmed sinner. At least I know who I am. Because I was pretty unclear about the Virgin Mother thing, too. Like that, I was like, yeah, if you can't pick and choose, whoa, baby. For some reason, though, I think because I was a glutton for punishment, I came back as a teenager. I read Alice Walker's The Color Purple, and there's a line where Seeley says to Shug, you know, and Shug is really disheartened, and she says, she says to Shug, church is a place where you share God. You don't go to church to worship God. Because Shug was struggling with how can there be a God who does this and who treats people this way. And so in this very strange way, I just had a mind shift, and I felt that I needed that community. So I went back, moth to a flame, to Catholic Church. But I decided that I could worship a God and share a God with a little g, not the big G. So I attended service with a secret. And as an adult, I did branch out and decided that there's more religions and more sanctuaries, so Quakerism, Unitarian Universalism. I went to UU churches in D.C., Arlington, Bethesda, Sterling, and finally and most intensely, intensely-ish, with a little I.
So like Chrissy and Leah, I was raised in an even less religious household. We went to church twice a year. You can probably guess those two times. I was baptized, did communion. But my parents, I appreciate them for this, let me decide about confirmation. I declined more out of laziness and disinterest than anything like spiritual objection. The only real lasting religious idea I retained from my youth was hearing my father explain that it was unusual for his parents to have been married because one was Irish Catholic and the other was Russian Jew. Though just a kid, it didn't make sense to me that a religion could prevent people from marrying who they wanted to. My mother told me, with a lot of frequency, that religion has caused more violence and death than anything else. But even though my parents were not religious, they decided against my wishes to send me to a Jesuit high school. Go figure on that one. But the reason, I guess, is my dad had gone to Georgetown, and he regarded the Jesuits as good teachers. And he was actually, I still feel actually kind of right in that. But at the time, I dreaded the idea of going. I was certain I would be religiously oppressed and made to conform to become a God-fearing sheep. Thankfully, this was not the case. I soon met an elderly priest named Father Byrne, who taught me ancient Greek, which is the language of those pesky pagans and philosophers who questioned and challenged much. So when I questioned him about God, he told me that I did not have to think of a judgmental, bearded, hot-tempered God, that God not even need to be exclusively of human form, which I'm not sure how that fits into Catholic teaching if we're in the image of God, but I guess he said exclusively human, so God could take on many forms. Guess was what he was saying, and he said, simply think of God as love. So that was something I could buy into, and I think I was maybe looking for it. My parents did provide that religious, and they kind of let me shape my own religious identity. It was still kind of a path. It wasn't necessarily the right place. I still had many issues with that, but it was a start, and I instantly felt more comfortable with my high school experience. But at the time, I didn't have much interest in church, religion, or spiritual growth. I was really into running, and that was the spiritual enough for me. Getting out into the woods, pondering alone, or talking with a friend or teammate, that was the type of communion I sought. And for college and the following 10 years after college, my Sunday mornings were filled with long runs of 13 to 18 miles and leaving me with no time or really energy for church on Sunday.
And then we made this magic happen at Quaker College in Pennsylvania, where we met. And it was an institution which by its nature had spiritual roots. Jason taught at a Quaker school for 2 years, but we still didn't think about a religious affiliation until way after we were married. We actually were married by a UU minister as well, outside. His parents' house. And we both felt really supported while we weren't really cognizant of it at the time, about the minister who was willing to do those things for us and be flexible.
So about 5 years into the marriage, we bought a home in Sterling, Virginia, and we discussed then making roots and joining a spiritual community. Because of our history and shared experience, we thought about Quakerism as a natural path for our relationship and our intended family. We attended a few Quaker meetings in Herndon to sit in silence, waiting to be moved to speak. And then one day on a whim, we decided to check out the U Church to see how it felt. Chrissy had attended, as she mentioned earlier, some services in Bethesda and Arlington, and I actually am more motivated by my morning cup of coffee. So we decided to venture to Leesburg one morning. I got a triple iced mocha with a dollop of whipped cream from Shoes in Leesburg, and we attended the service here. Maybe it was the mocha rush, but the service and the place felt right.
And so Jason wrote that he doesn't run quite so much. I don't know if that's but now our Sundays are here. And we do drive 15 miles to come here on Sundays. And we do appreciate the drive and kind of it feels like an escape a little bit from suburbia of Sterling. Before kids, we really enjoyed the ride back. Because that's where we would sort of process what was said and make those connections and everything and take what we are thinking about here and extend it to our other communities, or because maybe the Quaker background, but we also were very happy just to sit in that silence and just be still. Now with the two downstairs, silence is overrun with requests of princess music and snacks and lunch at Wegmans, and most of that's Justin.
So church, I guess in conclusion here, and UU Loudoun specifically has become a staple in our home, is a way that we recharge from meeting the demands of anxious students and seek to encourage their growth. Often feeling drained, we come to be nurtured ourselves, filled and reminded of the greater scheme of things. Our children are making strong relationships here where they feel safe and empowered to take meaningful risks. So we hold this to be a sacred place for contemplation, values, family, community, spiritualness, faith in each other, humanity, and sometimes beyond humanity. So thank you for encouraging us to share our journey here to now and for the reflective process of compiling our thoughts and how and why we became UU.